This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and joining me is State Representative Barry Crago, who is at the legislative session in Cheyenne. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's been another busy week at the legislative session, but this year it seems like you have been more in the thick of things than you have in the past. You've got a higher profile, and I just was curious as to why you think that is. Was it by design, or has it just happened that way?
Sure. So it was definitely not by design. I think it actually just kind of happened that way. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is we replaced almost half the body in the House. So we have 27 new members that have never served before in a body of 62. And so a lot of the more experienced members are no longer there. And so some of us that are not necessarily veterans, but have been there, at least a term, are having to step up and just, fill that void. And so I think that's part of it. And then I think the other part of it is on a personal level, you start sort of figure out what your role is. You get into a groove and you get more comfortable being here and taking that, taking those positions or taking that more of a out front role. And so I think that's those two things have really combined to me being in the news more than I'd like to be honest.
And that leads into my next question, because school spankings and the abortion bill, you were pretty outspoken on those two issues, but you seemed to be in favor of them. But there were some people that were kind of upset with how you voted on that. So explain exactly what it was that you were for on those bills, and then what you were against and why you ultimately voted the way that you did.
Sure. So we'll start with the easy one first. The corporal punishment in schools, I don't think anybody believes that that's, even a debatable issue anymore. No school districts use it. No school districts have a policy. But the way they were going about fixing the law really removed protections for our teachers. And what I was really concerned about is there's an immunity provision that they were removing. And instead of just making corporal punishment against the law, they were removing legal protections for our teachers. And so one of my concerns was, for example, if a teacher breaks up a fight between two kids in the hall and grabs them, as I would say, by the scruff of the neck and holds them away from each other or whatnot, is that corporal punishment? And is the teacher, if we remove the immunity provision, is the teacher subject to liability? And I didn't like the way the bill came to us. The idea was good. The drafting was not. And so we just need to probably take another run at it again next year and get it, get the language right. And there's a couple ways to do that, but that bill wasn't it. So that's all I said was, hey, I'm all right if we take corporal punishment out of the schools. I just don't want our teachers to be at risk when we do it.
Okay.
Next one, abortion. So that particular bill, House Bill 152, I just had a lot of concerns with the constitutionality of the bill as drafted. Last year we passed the trigger ban, which pretty much outlawed all abortions in Wyoming except for the exceptions rape, incest, and health of the mother. And so I thought we had a good law in the books already, and it's being challenged. And no matter what we do, whatever law we pass, it's going to be challenged in the courts. That's just the nature of that particular issue. There's no way around it. And I personally thought the bill we passed last year has a better chance of surviving constitutional scrutiny than does the one that was put forward this year. And I say that for a lot of different reasons. And without getting too much in the weeds, there was just a lot of extraneous stuff put into the bill that doesn't really have to do with abortion, but more has to do with us staking our claim on unconstitutional issues. For example, the bill specifically says the legislature gets to interpret the Constitution. Well, that's just not true. That job under the Constitution is left up to the Supreme Court. And the bill referenced several provisions within the Constitution that are problematic, for example, religious liberty. And if we're basing our decision on abortion on religious liberty, we're going to get, we're going to get in trouble with the Supreme Court. And there's just lots of things about the bill that I didn't like. because I'm afraid what will happen is if it passed, that we would, you know, it'd be found unconstitutional rather quickly, and then there would be no abortion law out there, and, you know, the most folks don't want that to happen. And so that's what I was trying to get at was, hey, there's a better way to go about this. Let's let the process play out with this other law that we've already passed. If for some reason it doesn't stand up to the constitutional scrutiny provided by the judiciary, then we'll go back and fix that. And so that's ultimately the amendment I put on the bill. That's ultimately what it says is if the abortion law we passed last year is found unconstitutional, then this one can go into effect, but only then.
Since then, the Senate apparently has held up that bill basically because they were questioning the constitutionality of it. So do you feel vindicated or what on where that stands now?
No, I mean, I don't feel vindicated. I guess I don't look at it necessarily through that lens, Aaron. I just, I think they probably have the same worries that I had and that a lot of other people have. I mean, I'm not the only one that has that concern. There were lots of us on the House side that were worried that we were, you know, we were going to leave the state in a worse position than where we are right now.
Let's touch quickly on property taxes. And where is that bill that Mike Madden suggested to Senator Kinski? Where exactly is that sitting?
It is in, I think it'll be heard this week in House Revenue Committee. So it has crossed over from the Senate, and that's Senate File 136. And Senator Biteman's the main sponsor on that. And I believe, I couldn't tell you what day it's going to be heard this week, but I'm fairly certain it's going to be heard this week at some point. And then three bills passed, you know, there's three bills sitting over in the Senate that the House passed out, which, and those are House Bill 98, House Bill 99, and House Bill 121. 98 isn't a property tax homestead exemption, so it would exempt the first $50,000 of your homestead, and that would amount to about $270 or $330 per home, based on what county you were in, you know, how many mills your county assesses. And so that would apply to everybody, and would just give an across-the-board exemption for your primary residence. And then 99 is the refund program, and there was just, it made a few changes to the refund program, expanded who qualifies for the refund program, and then provided the funding to the state to actually reimburse the counties for the refunds. And then 121 is a good bill brought forth by Representative Lawley from Over the Mountain. She's from Moreland, and it's a property tax deferral program. And essentially the way that works is you can defer half of your taxes as long as you meet certain qualifications, and when you sell your home, then you pay those taxes back. And it's really set up for what I would say is, you know, our retired folks and people who are on a fixed income. It works well for them. Those folks that have, you know, their homes paid off and they, you know, like I said, they're living on Social Security or whatnot. It would be super helpful for them. And so all three of those all three of the House bills and the one that's coming over from the Senate are sort of what I would call temporary fixes, band-aids. They really don't get to the heart of the problem, which I had co-sponsored. Speaker Summers had brought House Joint Resolution 2, which would have actually gone into the Constitution and created a separate class of property for residential properties and subclasses there under as determined by the legislature. And then that could have allowed us to really have the wiggle room to do the things I think we need to do long-term. But that bill actually died in the House. I think the Freedom Caucus folks all voted against that, and so it did not make it out because it requires a 2/3 majority.
Because that would have been the constitutional amendment. Gotcha.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Is that something that may be brought up in the future? Does it look like it has a push to maybe go after that again? Maybe next year?
Yes. Yep. And so that's the one that, you know, any of the ones that are constitutional amendments can come back again next year because they would not go on the ballot till next fall anyways. And so those will all come back. I'm certain that one, and maybe it'll be in a little bit different form or something, but that one will come back again.
And let's talk about the budget a little bit, because it looks like both houses passed a budget, which looks like a $550 million, I guess, extra expenditure. But you also put nearly $1 billion in savings. What's your personal take on that? Are you satisfied with that, or would you like to have seen other changes?
No, actually, I think everybody's mostly satisfied. We actually put $1.4 billion into savings. And the actual expenditures, they got cut down when we ended up going to conference with the Senate. It's down around 400 and some million expenditures, and a lot. And to be honest with you, most of that went to shore up school funding while we're figuring out this litigation stuff. So a lot of it went to that. So I think there, some of it went to some programs for folks back home that really need some of that. We made sure, for example, like Wyoming Home Services, which provides, like Meals on Wheels, things like that in our town, in our communities, those things got funded. And so those are some of the things that the money went to make sure the folks who need help are getting it. I think everybody was really excited that we put that amount of money into savings. And it was about half and half. Half went into the permanent funds, and which can never be touched, and half went into the reserve accounts, which also have some we worked on a bill that sets policies on how we can actually take money out of those now as well. So they're more like the permanent funds. We can't just use them as a slush fund anymore. And so I think those were all good steps. The reason we put as much into, on the House side, we didn't want to put as much into permanent savings as the Senate did. And one of the reasons why is the, what I'm going to call the intermediate reserve accounts, have a much higher rate of return. And so putting money into those allows us to earn more money on our, earn more income on our, on the corpus, and versus putting it into the permanent funds. The permanent funds are around 5% annually, whereas the intermediates are somewhere 8 to 9%. And when you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, it makes a big difference.
Crossover voting, that still seems to be, well, it was brought up again. I guess it died and then it came back up, was brought back up. What is your opinion on that? Is it something that's necessary, in your opinion?
I'm not sure how necessary it is. I know it's a big issue. People want us to do something about it. Constituents, I hear, when you go out and hit the campaign trail, it's one of the things Republicans want us to address. But in a county, for example, like ours, there just aren't that many Democrats. And so if they are Democrats, a lot of them, are permanently registered as Republicans anyway, so that they can partake in the elections, because the elections in our counties always happen in the primary, right? Rarely is something decided in the general in a county like, county like ours. And so I think it depends on your, where you live, what your district looks like versus red versus blue versus, purple. Ours, where we live, it's just, I don't think it'll have that big of an effect, and I've said that multiple times. But on the other hand, it's something that people want us to deal with, and so I think that it's going to end up happening. I think the Senate will probably pass it out. I don't know what'll happen after that, what the governor will do with it, but I guess we'll see.
Is the House, because it seems to be, at least from the outside looking in, it seems like the legislature may be seeing a bit more red, I guess. In other words, is there a very far right extreme mentality that you've seen in the House? Obviously, you don't know about the Senate, but in the House, do you see that, number one? And then I've got a follow-up to that after that.
I think we're dealing with a lot more social issues that are coming from, constituents back home or whatever. And I don't know if we're more red. Actually, we have less Democrats than we did a year ago. And so there's more Republicans, but I don't know if that means we're more red or not. I don't know how to look at that. I just think that there's, like I said, there's a lot of social issues we're dealing with, some of which people are very passionate about. And I always try to take everything from a pragmatic point of view. I don't, it, how does this affect, how does A, how does this affect the people of House District 40? B, how does this affect the state? And, meld all those things together and try to figure out what the best way forward is on a lot of these solutions, a lot of these problems. What's the best solution going forward? And so, I think there's definitely what I, the for example, the Freedom Caucus within the House. So there's the House Freedom Caucus. It's a group of legislators that, meet regularly, work together on issues. And so that particular segment of the House of Representatives has definitely grown. There's more of them this year than there was last year. And so, I think in that you see a lot of talk about that within the media, but I don't know if that, they're still down here trying to do the best for their people and do what they think is right. And so it's hard to describe the politics of that necessarily, but there's definitely a bigger segment of that.
Okay, I was just going to ask about the Freedom Caucus, so thank you. That explained that. Those are the questions I have for you this week, Mr. Crago. Anything you'd like to say to any of us back home that I forgot to ask about?
I look forward to getting back home to see you all soon. We have 2 weeks left, and so this week we'll kind of, towards the end of this week, the first day or two of next week, we'll wind down the actual passage of bills, Senate files in the House, and the Senate will finish looking at all of our House bills, and we're done hopefully next Friday. We have an extra day built in there. If we have to stay through Saturday, we can for veto overrides and whatnot. But we're just about done. I think, the biggest thing we've done, and you addressed this, was the budget. It was a big deal. Think it's the biggest savings in a budget ever, supplemental or general. And so that's a big deal. That's a good deal for the people of Wyoming. That money will earn income for the foreseeable future to help fund government in Wyoming, help fund schools in Wyoming, and we should all be happy and proud about that.
Thank you. State Representative Barry Crago, thank you for joining us. This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio. Again, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron.